Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is Grace's host, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. If you are catching this live, don't forget to share this around with your friends. But if you're catching the playback, definitely thank you for tuning in. Hit the bell icon if you're catching this here on YouTube to get all the notifications as they drop. But anyways, as always, boys and girls, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So we got a very interesting episode. As you guys and girls can see, we got a very interesting guest. We got comedian and actor, Mr. Rodney Perry. I will tell you personally how I knew of Mr. Rodney Perry was when I was in high school via the Monique Show. That was my first introduction to him. And then I saw him around on DVDs, you know, being a comic, Madea. You know, the list just goes on, you know, just all around Hollywood, things like that or whatnot. And what the interesting story was, I actually caught him live here in Denver, Colorado. And when I went out to Denver, Colorado, I was very impressed with his stand-up. And afterwards, I grabbed his book, Moments of My Journey. So as I grabbed his book and I read through his book, I was very inspired. And I had to reach out to him to let him know, being a veteran, coming from being a veteran, to going to Hollywood, and I want to talk to, of course, we got to ask him about finances, you know, what is he invested in and all that stuff like that, what do you think about it? So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, while you guys and girls tuned in, let me introduce my guest, Mr. Rodney Perry. How's it going today, sir?
What's up, Prince? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. First, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. Mm-hmm. And I want to, how was your day going so far?
Man, you know what? Today is an amazing day. You know, just physically, I'm feeling, you know, myself and kind of back on my feet and played a little Madden earlier. I did an interview earlier with some folks out in South Africa. And I'm talking to you now. So it's all coming together, man.
All right, cool. So we're going to talk about it. You speaking about coming onto your feet. You know, first thing I want to ask you, for people out there who are not familiar with Rodney Perry, or who's seen your face around sometimes, who is Mr. Rodney Perry?
Who is Rodney Perry? I mean, I'm a father, I'm a husband of 24 years, I'm a stand-up comedian, I'm an actor, I'm a, what else am I? I'm a lover of food, I'm a creature of excess, I'm a good dude, you know. I'm a nice guy.
All right, that is very true. Now, you spoke about it recently. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, COVID-19. Some people are speaking about, is it real? Is it not real? What's going on? You know, some people think we're overreacting, we're underreacting, but you recently just came over COVID-19.
Yeah.
How was that bout with COVID-19 going on?
First thing first, it's very real. And I know firsthand, I was experiencing some flu-type symptoms, chills, fever, diarrhea. I went to the doc, tested positive for COVID, and they admitted me into the hospital, and I was there for 14 days. Of course, I'm a vet, so I was at the VA. VA took great care of me. And to be honest, Prince, while I was in the hospital, I was like, this is not that bad. When I came home and started trying to move around, I realized how bad it was. Because when you're not moving, it's okay. You know, but what happens is the COVID gets into your lungs and starts to multiply mucus.
Mm.
And so the idea is to get the mucus up out of you before it settles into your lungs and causes pneumonia or something like that. So The short answer, again, is very real. And even now as we speak, I'm still in recovery in terms of being back to myself.
Okay. Well, that's good. Congratulations that you made it through. I know when I had called you on the phone, I didn't even know about it. I felt so bad when I called you. You was like,
we talked though.
Yeah, we did talk. I'm like, you like, yeah, man, I'm getting over a little COVID here. I was like, whoa. I ain't know you had COVID, you know. Then I went on the internet and I saw everybody was blogging about it, writing about it.
When we was on the phone, you did this.
I'm like, oh, I got to sanitize my phone. But the thing about it is, you spoke about how in Hollywood, how things can go up and down very fast, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you landed a big role coming to America, you know. How did you land this role? How did this come about? And what can we expect from this movie being a sequel?
Man, I auditioned just like any other actor. I went in, auditioned, and I read for a couple of different parts. And
did they tell you what movie it was? Or they just said
that's what I'm about to tell you. So when I went in for the working title of the movie was The Quest. And so it was The Quest to me. And so I went in for The Quest, and my agent called me. She was like, You booked it. I was like, what? She was like, you booked The Quest. I'm like, okay, good stuff. When do we work? She was like, you don't sound excited enough. I'm like, well, I'm happy. But book The Quest. She's like, Rodney, The Quest is coming to America too. And so yeah, I was really taken aback. I mean, Eddie Murphy is the reason I do comedy. And so to get an opportunity to work with him was one of those things that was awesome, you know. And then Arsenio Hall and the rest of the cast, it's just awesome, man. And so the movie comes out December this year. There isn't a trailer on the streets yet, but I mean, the way it felt, it should be an amazing movie, and people should be really excited. And I think it's as good as the original.
Hmm. So was it mostly shot at Tyler Perry Studios down in Atlanta and things like that?
Not mostly. All in Atlanta, but they shot in and around Atlanta. I believe they shot some scenes at Rick Ross's house. And then we did shoot a couple of weeks at Tyler Perry.
Okay. And did you, when you shot for the movie, did you go to Tyler Perry Studios or you went another location?
I shot on location one day and I shot at Tyler Perry the rest of the day.
Hmm. Speaking of Tyler Perry, you know, I know you've been in a couple of his movies and you've got a pretty close relationship with, are y'all kin?
I do not have a close relationship with him, but he is a nice guy. We are not related.
Okay.
He's a foot taller than me, but I'm the most handsome.
All right. Now, the thing I found very inspiring about your story is we see a lot of veterans that they retire from the military. You know, they retire, they get out, they separate. You did 8 years yourself as a yeoman. Yeah. And you went into show business out of all things, which is like one of the toughest things you can do to just, I feel as though going into comedy and then actually making something of yourself in comedy. When you look at this, what advice would you give to veterans and people that are separating from the military, or not even just the military, but just from who wants to give that shot into show business?
I mean, well, my story is interesting because I knew I wanted to be a comedian before I got in the Navy, mm-hmm. but I had a daughter on the way, and I was at a point in my life where I didn't want my mother taking care of me and mine, and so my golden goose was the military to help me, and mm-hmm. so I joined the Navy. A great recruiter pitched me, and he gave me a great pitch on a ride, and I was gone like 5 days later. So the military, I met some lifelong friends and things of that nature. But to answer your question, what advice would I give? I mean, it's all relative to passion. Whatever your passion is, find what your passion is, find what you love to do, and do it. And I always knew that I wanted to do it. And I got out the Navy at 8 years because that was a crossroads for me, because I felt like if I re-enlisted again, that would have took me to 12 years, mm-hmm. and 12 years would have meant that I needed to go, you know, the rest of the way to get to 20. And so it was a definite crossroads for me.
Okay. So now we're going to, before we jump into the finances, for the people that are catching this live or the people that do catch the playback, I want to go ahead and put this up, his story, Rodney Perry Moments on My Journey. So we're going to do today, my email address, the first two people to comment, Rodney Perry, he's going to autograph two books, as he's holding up right now, he's going to autograph two books and he's going to send them to you. He's going to autograph two books and send them to you. So the first two people to comment, Rodney Perry, in the comments, email me your mailing address, and we're going to get those to you because, you know, we always got to promote literacy in itself before we jump into the finances of the show, right, to read. Now, the next thing I want to get into, when I look at the show business itself, what do you got to say the finances of comedians and show business? Like, how do you support yourself with just going from gig to gig or whatnot, or whatever the case may be?
You know what, man? This pandemic has been very...
I want to go ahead and congratulations, Gardner Douglas. He said Rodney Perry.
Got you, Gardner. You in there, baby. That's yours.
Oh, and also...
And I'm going to sign it right here.
You going to sign... That's his name right there, Gardner Douglas. Go ahead and sign his. I don't know. I'm getting so many of them. And also, Kevin Hart wrote a nice little thing on it. You know, I didn't know you and Kevin Hart were so cool and things like that. How is Kevin as a person?
Oh, he a good dude, man. I mean, we talking finances. So I had a stroke 4 years ago. And when I was in a hospital, Kevin called me. He said, Rodney, get well. Don't worry about your family. We got you. And he sent my wife like 20 grand.
Kevin Hart sent your wife 20 grand.
Yeah, that's the type of friend I got.
Okay, all right. And let me make sure. I want to make sure I don't miss it. The next person.
Now, I don't think they dating. that would mess your day up. And Max, what's up, Max?
Max got. He said Rodney Perry. Max, he's out of New Orleans. So Max, send me your email address. Not your email address, but email me your address, and we'll make sure Mr. Perry get those out to you too. I'm sorry, Petey Young. So we got Petey Young. I'm sorry he commented, but thanks for participating. Galen, she said Rodney Parrish. Sorry you didn't get it. Maybe next time. Melina, I'm sorry.
Hey, Melina. You should have let Melina them get in. We gave the dudes all the books.
Yeah. The females of Beefy said Rodney Perry. George said Rodney Perry. Yeah, Gardner said Rodney. Who said, no, thanks.
My man, G got through first.
Yep.
What's up, Fred?
Fred Dyke said.
Is that your brother?
No, Fred is my cousin.
Okay.
He's my cousin. Cleveland, Ohio, Tony, how you doing? And Gardner, he puts a laugh, and he's the, okay, all right. All right, congratulations, everybody. Thanks for playing.
Thank you, guys. I really thank you very much. And thanks to Prince, because Prince bought these. He paid for these.
Yep.
Thank you.
And thank y'all for participating. But we want to get into the finances. So somebody who was trying to be a comic or a comedian, and they're trying to get into the comic game, you know, you have family. How do you survive from gig to just gig and waiting on a role? How do you live?
It's a bad idea. Okay. First of all, Prince, it was a horrible idea. You only have your passion at first. All you have is your passion, right? You know, and don't get me wrong, passion is a lot because you need that to be your engine when there's no money. Mm. You know, like I tell people all the time, if you getting into entertainment for money, you're gonna get your feelings hurt because there ain't no money. But the upside, you can go from here to hear in the blink of an eye. And so
you explain how that works. And I want you to kind of share that story of Cat Williams too, that you kind of tell with how Cat Williams was kind of like hearing this.
Man, so Cat, I had booked a tour with Sid the Entertainer. Mm-hmm. And every city, they would pick a local guy to be on the tour for that city. And in L.A., that guy was Cat Williams. And Cat and I had already knew each other. We were in the Bay Area together. Mm-hmm. And so that night, we get to the venue. Everybody has a dressing room except Cat. So Cat, in his mind, he commandeered a restroom. He took a sheet of paper and drew a star on it and Cat Williams and put it on the wall. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy knows something that nobody knows. He was already a star. And probably a year to the day later, he was headlining that same venue on his own. So the dramatic upside is crazy, man.
Hmm. Okay, so you pretty much say let your, you know, oh yeah, she said, hey Rodney, and she says, let your passion be your engine. So now that you said that, you know, going into showbiz, you said you're going in for money is not a good idea. I got to ask you, you know, over the time, you know, showbiz, you make a lot of money. You make a lot of money fast.
I've made some great money.
Oh yeah, we know, Rodney.
I mean, I bought this house on jokes. I've traveled around the world on jokes. I bought cars. I've, you know, put people through college. I'm a very blessed man.
Oh yeah, we looked you up, Rodney. We know you're doing pretty good, you know. But I gotta say, with all the money, what would you say was your worst investment?
Wow.
Houses, you put people in cars.
I'll tell you what. Here's my worst investment. And so I got out the Navy. I'm moving to LA. My wife wanted a car. And I was like, let's wait till we get down in LA. We buy a car there. She's like, no, she wanted a car. And she didn't press me, but she pressed me. And as a man, you want to give, you know, you ever see that movie John Q? When the woman looks at him and say, do something, you know. And my wife gave me a do something moment. And every man, if you're in a relationship, you have do something moments. And so I was like, you know, I got to do something. And she wanted a car and I wanted to give it to her. So I had a buddy that worked at a car dealership. This is the mistake I made. I bought a car from a guy named Bubba. Bubba sold me a Ford Taurus. It was the worst investment I ever made. The car was immediately a lemon from day one, and it had all kind of internal things wrong with it. It looked great, and it had all kind of bells and whistles, and he sold me on that. The interior was great, but the absolute worst investment. That car ended up getting repoed, and I remember the repo guy. So get this, Prince. I had been hiding the car for months, right? I've been hiding it. You know, different people were parking around the corner, you know, hiding in the garage. And we had just had a baby. And I get a call one day. It's the repo guy. He's like, hey, man, you good? I said, who is this? He said, so-and-so from so-and-so repo. I was like, I'm good. What do you mean? He said, dude, I've been trying to get that car for 2.5 months. I'm going to get the car. He said, Rodney Perry, I'm going to get the car. And when I get it, you're going to lose all your stuff because I know you got a baby. And look, man, just park the car on the street, man. Save us both some energy. I was tired. I went out there. Me and my wife talked about it. Parked that car on the street. We took everything out of it. And they came and got their car. That was the worst investment I ever made. Mm. I'm sure I've made other bad ones, but that car, it was just so bad. It was just such a bad idea.
Now, speaking of that, in show business, you know, you've been around show business for, you know, you've been around all the comedians, all the entertainers, stuff like that. What are some of the worst investments you see up-and-coming comics make or whatever that's getting into the industry or that are even currently in the industry that you say, man, that's, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, to be honest, dude, there's tons of mismanagement of money. See, the thing about money is that you kind of don't know it until you have it. So, you know, cats have this pitfall. The comedians or actors, we had the same pitfall as anybody else. You get money, you go buy a car, which is a terrible investment because it immediately depreciates. Or you go buy some jewelry or some, you know, just stuff that could wait.
Hmm.
You know, and I think those are some of the poor investments I've seen. I think the biggest problem is financial literacy. Like, we just kind of don't know, you know, if that makes any sense. You're an entertainer. You go from making $1,000 a month to $30,000 a month.
Hmm.
No, 30,000 a week.
Wow.
And so now you're at.
A comic could do 4 or 5 shows in a weekend, right?
No. I'm talking about if you book a TV show, you can literally be making 30, 50,000 a week. You know, and so and as a comedian, you get hot. You can do the same thing at comedy club. So you imagine you get a show and you're becoming a viable comedian. You could be doing $100,000 a week. Easy. So I think one of the biggest pitfalls is taxes.
Mm.
You know, I had a tax issue at the outset of my getting hot. So I booked a Monique show and I had a lawyer helping me. He said, "Right, let me set up your business." And he set me up as a C Corp.
Mm.
Right? So I'm set up as a C Corp and I get a tax bill at the end of that year for like $80,000 that I owed.
Mm.
So what happens with a C Corp for anybody listening, if you're an individual and you're running yourself as a C Corp, if you don't operate as a company, you can damage yourself because you kind of get taxed twice. So I was taking the money I was receiving and just using it, but I would have had to stop, pay myself, and then they would tax that money, right? But I didn't do that because I didn't know. So I should have been an S Corp, sole proprietor. So he should have made me S Corp. So I meet a tax guy. He explains everything to me. I change my business over to an S Corp, simple piece of paper, no problem. But I still got this tax bill. So I'm paying it. I paid probably $10,000 on it because I'm making money. I'm making $10,000 a week, you know. So I'm talking to the IRS one day. And the thing about the IRS is you have to talk to them yourself. Like, you can have an advocate or something, but you really need to talk to the IRS. So I'm on the phone. It's hard to get the IRS on the phone. I end up talking to somebody and they thought I was an individual, calling by my individual tax. Sorry, we got to see you somewhere else. That's another hour. Getting the IRS. I finally get them on the phone. I explain to the lady my issue and we're talking. And I'm like, you know, my business is an S Corp now. Is there any way you could grandfather me so my S Corp would have been an S Corp from the beginning? She was like, you know what, Mr. Perry? Wow, there's a one-time exemption. And she hit that button. She said, "Ooh, we owe you $20,000." Cried like a baby. Give me my money, man. That's definitely one of the pitfalls that I always encourage actors and comedians to be knowledgeable about. My best friend has always made like stock and investments like that. So my biggest issue early on in my life is I had no investments and I wasn't thinking about the future because you're young and healthy and you feel like you'll live forever, you know? And so what I was going to say about this pandemic, the pandemic has forced us, people as like Roddy Perry, comedians and actors, and you're focused on that one thing. And, you know, for me personally, I'm expanding. I'm looking for different streams of income. I'm looking for investment opportunities. I'm looking for a lot of different things because I never want to feel like I felt when the pandemic came and I could not work for 90 days.
Mm.
And so in that, you know, I was able to get like the EDIL loan to kind of help us stay afloat. I was, which helped me consolidate my credit, you know, because you can use EDIL to help with your business credit. So it helped me consolidate my credit, 3.5% interest. I mean, it was a no brainer for us. And I'm getting into some other businesses. I'm doing some multi-level marketing things. I'm doing some, you know, some products. People pitch me stuff all the time, you know, even over social media. So I'm just getting it. I'm looking to diversify my personal life and create more streams of income.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, you just spoke about the downside. I got to ask you, what you would say looking over your time was probably your best investment that you look back and say, I know you say you didn't really do that much, but you look back and say, well, you know what? I'm glad I did this.
This house was my best investment. You know, one of the things that when you look at the history of Black people in America, one of the things we lost out on was equity. You know, we lost out on, like, if your grandparents and my grandparents were able to buy a house 50, 60 years ago, that would change everything for them because they would have, that house would have gained money. It would have appreciated. And so the one thing that's affected us as people of color is missing out on a lot of the equity because of redlining and other things like that affected us. And so this house, I bought this house. We moved in here 10 years ago. This house is already worth almost $100,000 more than it was when I bought it. And so
years ago.
Yes. I said 10 years ago. 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years. So that in itself is an incredible upside. And you know, I'm doing some small stuff. I start dabbling. I want to learn how to day trade.
Mm.
You know, but my buddy's like, day trading is like Vegas, and I'm like, is it? And so I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to Vegas every day. But I'm a gambler at heart. So, and then I'm doing this little Acorn thing.
I just had them on the show a couple of days ago.
I think it's kind of a glorified savings account, but yeah. I'm not looking at it. I'm not paying attention to it. It's just doing its thing. And my Acorn, I got a couple $1,000 in it. I'm like, really? I'm like, because I think I'm sending over like $50 a week or something like that. And it's money that you would normally blow that's going there instead of to McDonald's or something. So I'm doing that now. And I'm going to take that out and do something else with that. I read a book years ago. And I told you we've been married 24 years, my wife and I. And my wife is a rainy day person. She's always been like, say, put that away for a rainy day. And I, on the other hand, as like, God has got us, we're not worried about no rain, right? Hmm. And we have fundamental differences in how we view money. And so I'm taking a flight to a gig and I read this book. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. You ever read it?
Oh, yeah.
So I read The Richest Man in Babylon, changed my life, changed my view on money. So basically in the story, there's a rich guy, there's a king, there's a rich guy, and everybody else is poor. And the king is like, why are you rich and everybody else is poor? He said, because I live by some tenets. He said, I pay God, I pay myself, and I pay my bills. A bell went off in my head. Pay myself. That was the thing that changed my life, friend, because pay myself don't sound like save $20 for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. Pay myself is active. And so he went on to say, you pay yourself, and then the money you pay yourself, you let that mature, and then at the end of a year, you invest that money in something else, and hopefully that money, look at that money as your children begin to have children. So your money begins to increase. And so that idea changed my mind. And I remember coming home and telling my wife, oh my God, we're going to start doing this and doing this. And she was like, that's what I've been telling you to do. You stupid.
That's right. We usually pay ourselves after we paid everybody else.
Right.
We kind of save with what's left over.
Exactly. Yeah, the idea is everything ends up being, I think, 10 or 20%, just pay yourself that, you know, of the gross. Mm. And put everything else, you know, to whatever you didn't need to go to. I mean, you, and so that's what it kind of amounts to. But, you know, I'm still in the, you know, I'm almost 50 years old and I'm in a perpetual state of learning. I'm always learning, man.
Okay. Well, now speaking of that, with your newfound knowledge with the richest man in Babylon, going forward, you kind of hinted on it earlier, how you kind of want to get into day trading, how you're doing some MLMs, things like that or whatnot. What is Rodney Perry investing in?
I would like to get some stock. I would like to get involved with some stock. I just don't know enough about it. I feel like it's another language. Like when I bought my house and they handed me this big stack of paper, I was like, that's a lot, you know. And I felt like they were speaking a language I didn't all the way understand. And so I'm looking to get some education. And you and I talked offline about, you know, getting some of that education, you know. So, my buddy, my best friend Harry from the Navy, he does some really active investing, and he has a guy that helps him, and so he's gonna let me piggyback on some of his investments. So that's what we were doing initially, you know. And you know, he had stuff like, he's had Tesla since it was nothing. So it's proven to be a big. So he's letting me piggyback on his investment with a couple of grand and just let it grow and let it mature.
Okay, speaking of that, if you had a chance to do it all over again, you come into the comedy world and you had the chance, you know, knowing what you picked up over the years about money, mm-hmm. what would you do differently with money?
Wow, great question. What would I do differently? I wouldn't buy that blue car. I would tell my wife no. I would have this mindset 20 years earlier, and I would have much more of a nest egg right now. Mm. You know, I would you know what I know now. If I had it at age 20, I would be dangerous. I would be real day. I would learn day trading. I would learn, you know, investing. You know, and I actually worked for a guy one time that tried to even educate me on it. And I was like, no, I'm gonna hit it. I ain't about to do that. You know, so I just wish I had been more active on it back then. But you learn when you learn. And I'm still thankful for the journey.
Okay. What do you think about teaching kids? Like, you know, kids about investing in credit and insurance and real estate. You know, why did you think this is not taught to kids?
I mean, I know you have books about for children about this, and I think it's absolutely a must that you at the very least have conversations with your children about money. You know, my wife and I, we're pretty active on getting our children bank accounts and ATM cards and letting them understand money and interest and what that is. But like you said, what about insurance? Mm. You know. What about, like, it's a lot of folks that don't look like us that got money because somebody died. You know, that's the only reason their family got a quarter is somebody had the wherewithal to get insurance. And so it's one of those things that I think is a must, you know, in terms of our children. And it will change our trajectory going down the line.
Hmm. All right. Well, Mr. Rodney Perry, it's been a definitely a great honor having you on. The people who won the books, make sure you shoot me that email at prince@childrensfinancialliteracy.org so we can get those books out to you. But before we leave, before we get out of here, make sure you come across the bottom, Max B and I think that was Gardner that won.
Gardner.
Yep, there we go. Make sure you do those. And the latest movie, Coming to America, coming out in Christmas, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Is there anything you want to leave the audience with? How can people follow you? What do you want to leave them with? Because I know here everybody's about finances and investing. What do you got to say?
Are
aspiring comedians or
whatever? I'm a comedian. You can find me on social media, Rodney Perry Live, or at Rodney Perry on my website or whatever. But I mean, I think this is powerful conversation. I'm glad you're having it, Prince, especially in terms of passing this information on to our kids. People of color tend not to know money until they get it.
Hmm.
So I want to say to you, if you're listening, you hear my voice, manage small money first. If you can manage your $100, you can manage a million. And so that's being prudent with it. That's not just blowing it. That's not buying something you can't afford. That's not letting your interest rate take over. That's not, you know, I'm not a fan of secure credit cards. I'm not a fan of buying, you know, furniture and stuff and TV on time, you know, all the stuff that people do that ends up really costing you money in the long run. So the short answer is manage your money, even if it's just a small amount of money you have.
Okay. So we got Tony said, great to see Rodney investing, planning at this stage, which encourages us as non-celebrities. So he said, seeing you investing as a celebrity, it encourages us as non-celebrities to, you know, invest. So look at that.
And Tony, listen up, man. I mean, even you look at your celebrities, a lot of celebrities, your favorite actors, they don't understand money. They got bad credit. They got, you'd be surprised. People with a lot of money can't buy nothing with a credit card.
Wow.
You know, and here's another thing, Prince, is have credit. I was 30 years old with no credit because I've been cash and carry my whole young life.
Wow.
And so when I start wanting to buy cars and rent cars and stuff like that, you need a credit card. I was like, I don't have no credit card, you know. And so now, you know, that's another thing I would have done better earlier, is I would have had credit and not been afraid of it. Don't be afraid of credit. And what I tell my kids is treat your credit card like cash. Mm. If you don't got it, don't spend it.
You know, I think that the reason why is that we go through school and we don't learn what credit is until we need it. So I think we got to do preventive maintenance, like teaching our kids, introducing these to these topics at a younger age. You shouldn't be graduating high school at 18. And I didn't know what a credit, I didn't really understand credit until I went to go get my first phone. And they said, well, how about your credit? And I was like, run my credit. I was like, well, it got to be good because I never used it. And
somebody's been using it.
Exactly. They were like, no, that's the same as bad credit. But Ms. Ruby said, hi. Somebody says, I am my own president, OG Rodney P.
My man.
You know, yeah, Gar said, can't put all your eggs in one basket. Aiden said, yes. Marlon, she's laughing about Bubba, where you bought the car from.
Let me tell you something. Bubba, he was a comedian too. His name was Bubba B. Media. You buy something from Bubba, you deserve to get, you know, whatever you get.
Okay. Well, Ron, I know you got to get running. I got to thank you for coming on. For everybody that's out there, you know, follow him on his Instagram. He always putting funny stuff up on his Instagram at Rodney Perry Live. Check out his, you know, I'll definitely be watching Coming to America too. I thank you for coming on. It was great seeing you. Very inspiring book, by the way. And I'm glad I was able to give away two copies. And
hey, man, thank you. As a fellow author, I'm honored that you took the time to read it, man. And man, I really appreciate it. You know, when you sell a book at a comedy club, some people just want the book to interact with you, you know. And you actually read it and you hit me up, man. I mean, I'm honored, man, for real.
Oh, yeah. I always push reading here. Always, you know, I hated reading as a kid, but as I got older, I started reading more and more and more. And, you know, like I said, the touching thing was to see your story coming from Chicago, moving to the South. Because when I saw it, I was like, well, how did he go from the military to Cedric the Entertainer to Monique to Kevin? You know, I'm like, well, how does this make sense? Right. And, you know, when I asked you, it was like, it's all in the book. And I read it, and it was just very inspiring, you know, to see, like, wow, you really can do something once you retire.
like the interesting thing about this book is I had just had my stroke when I wrote it, and so I couldn't type. So I dictated the book, so it kind of reads like me speaking. So if there's any typos, it's because I said it that way. But this was a bucket list item. This was for my kids to hear my story if I was ever unable to tell it. And so again, man, I'm honored that you were
able to do that. Also, the foreword was written by Monique.
Yeah.
And the foreword was written by Monique. And I see that Kevin Hart also put a lot of line. He put one of the most personable, like people in the planet. I'm so excited in the world to get some of his amazing energy and humor on the back too.
Yeah. And
Nicole says, one Black Wall Street, Rosewood, other Black Meccas were destroyed, so the knowledge was not passed down.
True enough. Well said.
Okay. Anyway, Rodney, thank you. And to everybody that's out there, and to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. And thank you.